Chapter 7, Periorbital and Orbital Cellulitis.
Now, some patients who come in complaining of a painful red eye actually have nothing wrong with their eye.
With their eyeball.
With the eyeball, the globe. It's actually around their eye, and you can get an infection or a cellulitis of the tissue around the eye. So we confusingly call this by two different names, either periorbital cellulitis or preseptal cellulitis. And actually prefer the name preseptal cellulitis because I feel like it's a bit more specific. When we say septal, we're talking about the septum, the tarsal plate. So preseptal, it's everything in front of that. And this can really be a spectrum from pretty benign, go home on some PO antibiotics and follow up, all the way to it can be quite serious and it can lead to other complications, including it can spread more posteriorly and cause orbital cellulitis.
Now, the critical distinction that we have to make in the emergency department is between the preseptal cellulitis and when that goes back further, like you say, to actually cause an orbital cellulitis. And by far the most helpful physical sign of that is when they have pain on extraocular movements. So they've got redness and swelling of their anterior structures, of their lower lid, maybe a little bit around the eye. And then they tell you, doc, when I look to the left, when I look to the right, it hurts. That has to raise your concern that the infection goes further back. And you know what? That's serious. That can cause a loss of sight. But even worse, that represents an infection that can go further back into the brain, into the cavernous sinus, and even cause brain abscess in some cases. And so that can be really serious if we don't hospitalize and treat orbital cellulitides with IV antibiotics.
Another sign of orbital cellulitis is the patient may actually have a proptosis of their eye, much like you may see with a retrobulbar hematoma.
You know, anytime you've got proptosis, you got to worry about something that's pushing from behind the eye. You actually have to get more imaging in a case like that because they might need emergent decompression of that. In fact, if you have a retrobulbar hematoma, when we talk about trauma, if you've got a collection of blood behind the eye of a patient who was punched in the eye, for example, and their vision is going and their pupils dilating, we actually do an emergent procedure called a canthotomy in those cases.
And if you'd like to see a video of how to do a lateral canthotomy, we have that on MRAP HD. So there's really a spectrum of disease here. With preseptal cellulitis, many of these patients can go home. Sometimes it's severe enough that you need to admit them and put them on IV broad-spectrum antibiotics. And then if it's orbital cellulitis, of course that patient is getting admitted, ophthalmology consult, and IV antibiotics. And there's actually a great review of this subject from EMA from August 2010. It's abstract number 16, acute periorbital infections, who needs emergent imaging? And you can listen to Rick and Jerry discuss that.
The case.
Now that we've discussed periorbital and orbital cellulitis, Stuart, I have a case for us. And again, with this case, you can take a look on your phone or on the website and see a picture of this patient as you listen to her history. How old are you?
28.
And what was it that brought you to the ER the first time?
A swollen eyelid, basically. But I could still see. I went in and they gave me antibiotics. I went home, tried that, hot compresses, did what the doctor said, and I woke up with my eye completely shut and swollen.
So you went back to the ER after that?
This morning, yes. Mm-hmm. They put me on an IV and gave me fluids and then transferred me to this hospital so I can get the treatment that I need.
What's it feel like?
It's tender and throbbing and like pressure headache, kind of, or to the touch, and hot to the touch as well. Face.
Do you have any other medical problems?
No.
So before your eye was swollen shut, did you feel like you had any problem with your vision? Or if I were to kind of force your eyelid open, would your vision be affected?
No, it's not blurry at all.
And just in case you can't see the picture, let's listen to my resident, Dr. Michael Kakurza, describe the exam.
So there was pretty significant edema in the upper and lower eyelids. There was only some mild erythema overlying. It wasn't overtly cellulitic. The eyes themselves actually looked pretty good. Both eyes, pupils were equal, round, reactive, and accommodate to light and accommodation. As far as the sclera, there was no conjunctival injection, there was no scleral icterus noted. So the eyes, pretty good. All extraocular muscles were intact.
Did she have pain with extraocular movements?
She did not, no.
That's good. And what about her visual acuity?
It was normal. So I'm gonna get a CT scan of her orbits just to make sure that there's no orbital cellulitis and that this is more likely a preseptal cellulitis. I also wanna make sure there's no abscesses or anything like that that we may need to talk to ophthalmology about. So I think for her, what I would do is start IV ceftriaxone and IV vanc, just make sure we have good coverage for MRSA and see what the CT scan shows.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly, actually. Is that a medical term, gnarly? It is gnarly.
Yes.
It's, you know, I would be guessing when I'm looking at her that they did a good thing to transfer her to your hospital to a higher level of care and see opto. And just looking at it, I'd find a hard time believing that that wasn't an orbital cellulitis at least. And I'm worried about cavernous venous thrombosis and other more serious things.
It does look very bad. And it can be really hard to tell the difference between a periorbital cellulitis and an orbital cellulitis. Now, she did not have pain with extraocular movement, so that was reassuring. But this is definitely someone that you need to get a CT scan on and make sure.
And CT will give you that extra bit of information that will help you see if there's any edema and infectious signs in the posterior orbit. I think that the ophthalmologists rely heavily on the CT in cases like this. So my guess is that you guys probably admitted her for IV antibiotics just because how dramatic it was and because she was transferred to your facility. And I'm hoping that the CT was negative and nothing happened and it was just a really ugly looking periorbital cellulitis. Am I right?
Yes, you're right. And she absolutely got admitted, got IV antibiotics. And we watched her just to make sure with how much swelling she had right above her eye to make sure that that wasn't developing into a facial abscess that would need to be drained.
And you know what? If you hadn't have done those studies, she would have had an orbital cellulitis, right? That's Murphy's Law.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So you did them and they were negative and you reassured yourselves and she got better though. But I'm sure that the hospital course and the IV antibiotics really made a rapid improvement of that then.
They did.
So this is a big one, right? This is a huge one, right? You can get infections around or behind your eyeball. The ones that are sort of in the skin around the eyeball, well, they can be bad, but they're not as bad as if the infection is spreading behind your eyeball into the fat and muscle and into the eyeball itself. So how do you tell the difference between those two? It can be really hard. So if you've got like a sinus infection or you get a hordeolum or a sty that spreads or you've got a scratch and you get cellulitis kind of around the eyeball, generally you don't get as much swelling or not as much proptosis of the eye popping out. And generally you don't have pain when you move your eye around, at least not as much. Whereas if the infection's behind the eye, when we're much more concerned about that because there's a lot of blood vessels and muscles and eyeball structures itself that are behind that septal area, behind the sort of the orbital rim area, those people generally have an eyeball that pokes out a bit and is really painful when they move their eye around. Both of them can be quite bad, but clearly the orbital cellulitis, the one that's sort of behind and around the eyeball, that's a four-alarm fire. That's IV antibiotics, maybe even surgery. Whereas the preorbital, the skin around the eyeball cellulitis, generally can just be treated with IV antibiotics and sometimes even can be followed as an outpatient. If in doubt, if you can't tell, CT scanning is a very useful maneuver. But if you can't tell and if the person is at all sick, you're going to admit them, you're going to give them IV antibiotics, and you're going to call ophthalmology because you don't want to screw with missing something bad around the eyeball. So Jess mentioned an EMA piece from August, actually, August 2010, Rick and Jerry show. And remember, of course, you know, EMA is now part of MRAP. It's all part of the show. And so is the archives. So this is from our archives, August 2010.
16. 16. Acute periorbital infection, emergent imaging, is it needed? This is by Rudlow in Pediatrics, Children's of Boston. It's a chart review, unfortunately not very good methods. Almost 2,000 children with clinical suspicion of orbital or periorbital infection.
Children's Hospital of Boston. Whenever you say Children's Hospital of Boston, the study has to have at least 50,000 kids in it.
So this one has almost 2,000 kids.
That's a lot.
Unfortunately, they don't tell us what they mean by clinical suspicion. And that's really important because you got to know how these people, what made them decide in the first place. And we don't. They also don't tell you how they identified these charts. This is a chart review. They don't tell us how they found them. 300 of these 1,900 had a CT scan. Those people are probably different than the ones who didn't have a CT scan. So that's another problem. Because they're basing a lot of the results on the CT scan.
They should have scanned everybody then.
Well, no, but you can't know very much about the kids who didn't have the scan because there's workup bias. 111 kids were diagnosed with an abscess of some sort. And I assume when they say abscess, they're talking about some sort of worse infection. Although they don't define what an abscess is. They started out talking about periorbital versus periorbital. And now they talk about abscess, which I assume they mean in the orbital camp, in the bad camp.
Right, right.
But in any case, so for all those problems, they come up with what I think are the right answer, which is that proptosis, pain with eye movement, and ophthalmoplegia all were very high risk. However, the other thing that was important was that half the kids who had an abscess didn't have any of the three.
Absolutely. You know, so those are the key points
here. Two take-home points. When you have those high-risk things, be really worried. Understand that not everybody who's sick has one of those. Now, we can't really tell how to go further because they don't tell us why anybody got a CT scan. People who had none of those must have had a reason to have a CT. Looked sick, couldn't see. I don't know what it was. But again, there's a lot of problems with this paper, but there are two good take-home points. If you have ophthalmoplegia, pain with eye movement, really, really important, and proptosis,
ophthalmoplegia,
worry about it.
And proptosis. You have to be an idiot not to get a scan with that. The key thing that you mentioned
pain
with eye movement. That is really one of the very, very important differentials between orbital and periorbital cellulitis. But as you pointed out, half these cases where they did make a diagnosis of an abscess behind the eye didn't have those things. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion, I think, Jerry, you don't like this, is to have a low threshold for doing the CT in these kids.
No, because we don't know why they did the CT. There was some other reason that got them to do it in the kids who didn't have that, and unfortunately, they don't tell us what that is. I will tell you one other thing, which is that pain on eye movement is a bad
iritis.
Cardinal sign of, well, not iritis so much.
I'm not iritis. what do they call that thing in the back there?
Posterior. Now you got me having a senior moment. I was about to say what it was until you said so. So you get it with MS. You get anything that involves the
multiple sclerosis.
Anything that involves the optic nerve. So
optic neuritis.
Optic neuritis.
Yes, there you go. Thank you very much.
We got it together.
Put the two brains together and you have a half a brain.
I knew what it was.
Optic neuritis.
I was going to say it
pain
until you
on
said
eye
iritis.
I'm sorry. It was an itis.
But optic pain neuritis. On eye movement is a bad sign.
Yes, but that's just it. You have to seek it out. You have to know it about it and say test for it. I don't know that.
The other thing is that, but remember, when you ask too deliberately, sometimes people will say yes to everything you say. So you got to be careful how you ask it.